This is Spokane Public Radio. It's an interesting time when we read the arts calendar in this week prior to Christmas, because after the long, long arts calendar we had last week and about seemingly endless number of theatrical things going on, it's reduced way, way down to very little. But it is out of that dearth that in the last few years several arts organizations have figured out we need something right before Christmas, right at Christmas often, and that caused the Spokane Civic Theater for the last 2 years to do It's a Wonderful Life, and it's good not to do the same thing all the time. So this year it's Miracle on 34th Street, a radio play, which will be in two performances, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and it will be at Spokane Civic Theater at their space. On Friday night, we will be airing it live on the air, as it happens, so that will be 7:30 here, and then we will have a recording of it that we will play on Christmas Eve. So there are all the facts, and the person who's wrangling this radio play is Jerry Sherio. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Vern. I like that, wrangling.
Well,
I like that term.
You have a bunch of people to try to keep in line, don't you?
I do, and it's a fine crew of people as well. Go ahead.
Well, I want, even before we talk about the play itself, the way of doing it, Reader's Theater, everybody's pretty used to, but then when you have the convention that it is as a radio play, and you have all these experienced actors doing it, do they have to adjust or adapt or do anything different than they would do if you were directing them in a play?
Yes, they do. In fact, perhaps most of our first rehearsal period was spent breaking some patterns and habits that a stage actor has, and converting them over to a radio actor habits and methods. And for most of the cast, when you are having a dialogue scene with another actor and you're on stage, you generally look at that person. Well, when you're doing a radio show, you've got to face the microphone, and they're standing next to you, so you can't look at them. You've got to keep your focus on the microphone.
That was
hard to break.
Yeah, it would be when a lifetime of things there. Okay, well, anyway, Miracle on 34th Street, and I will just admit right now, I may be the only person listening who has never seen Miracle on 34th Street, so you can speak to me as the ignorant one. I mean, I've lived in New York. I know Penn Station. I know 34th Street. I know that. I know the department stores that are around there, so I'm that far.
I would be hesitant to call you the ignorant one, perhaps the novice.
Okay, there we go.
We'll use that term.
Okay. So what does it matter that we know about Miracle on 34th Street except that by virtue of 34th Street, it screams New York?
Absolutely nothing. There is no pre-knowledge required. Mm-hmm. It's just a very well-written story. The original short story, Valentine Davies, I believe, was the author of the short story the film was based on. And the original film, there have been a few film versions, but the original film was just so well done and well put together. It tells you everything you need to know when you need to know it, step by step.
But it is about shopping. It takes place in Macy's.
Oh, yes.
Right? So maybe we'll try to start bringing some people right up to the microphones, because we're going to have a conversation. Stay around for just a moment, Jerry, and describe these three people, because it... Mr. Gailey, what's his role in the store?
He actually is not an employee of Macy's.
Oh.
The piece begins on Thanksgiving Day. The whole story takes place between Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. And it begins with that wonderful Thanksgiving Day tradition, the Macy's Parade. And Mrs. Walker is one of the employees at Macy's store. In the apartment building she lives in, one of her neighbors is Mr. Gailey.
Oh.
And so Mrs. Walker's daughter, Susan, has been watching the parade with Mr. Gailey in his apartment.
Okay, well then let's have Jerry move away from the microphone and bring you folks in here, and let's kind of set up the scene of Miracle on 34th Street.
It certainly is a wonderful parade, Susan. Just look at that clown! Gosh, what a giant!
Giant, Mr. Gailey. There are no such things as giants.
Well, not now, maybe, but in the olden days.
Really, Mr. Gailey?
Well, what about the giant that Jack killed? You know Jack and the Beanstalk.
Everybody knows that's a fairy tale.
Haven't your mother or father ever told you fairy tales?
No. My mother thinks fairy tales are silly. I don't know if my father thinks they're silly or not. I never met my father. You see, my father and mother were divorced when I was a baby.
Oh. Well, anyway, that clown certainly looks like a giant.
People sometimes grow very large, but that's abnormal.
I bet your mother told you that, too.
Uh-huh.
Come in.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan's mother. My maid said...
Hello, Mother. I'm watching the parade. Mr. Gailey invited me.
Hello, darling.
Susie's told me quite a lot about you, Mrs. Walker.
She's told me quite a lot about you, too. The lawyer in the front apartment.
This is all part of a plot, Mrs. Walker. I'm very fond of Susie, but I also wanted to meet you.
What a terrible trick.
Well, it worked.
Susan, what do you think about my parade?
Much better than last year's. There goes Santa Claus.
Don't even mention the name.
Why not, Mother?
That Santa Claus you see is a last-minute substitute.
But why?
Remember the way the janitor was last New Year's?
Oh my, yes. Tight as an owl.
I see Susan doesn't believe in Santa Claus either.
That's right. She never has.
Well, that's the end of the parade. Mother, I've been thinking. It's Thanksgiving, and there are only the two of us. Couldn't we invite Mr. Gailey?
Well, I...
Please, don't bother. I'll have a sandwich or something.
But we have such a big turkey. Please, Mother, please.
Well, I think...
Did I ask all right, Mr. Gailey?
Susan!
Shh! You asked just fine, Susan. Dinner's at 3, Mr. Gailey.
Okay, let's keep the actors right there in place and talk a little bit about who they are. I want to start with you, Mrs. Walker, played by Sarah Damon. And you're a little taken aback by that suggestion. Are you a little concerned about your daughter and this guy in the front apartment?
I don't... She might be concerned about anything familial. She's a little bit closed off, and her life is just her and her daughter and her job. And so anybody entering into that little home circle is maybe a bit threatening or you know, not threatening, but makes her nervous.
So do you take that character into the rest of the play? Do you represent the forces of conservatism or caution or something within the play?
I think she does. She represents common sense, and this is a play about faith. So I think she has a bit of a journey in this story.
Yeah, and then to your daughter, which is Susan Walker, played by Darcy Else. Darcy, what kind of kid are you? You sound kind of innocent.
I also think that she's just somebody who has been raised by Mrs. Walker, who's very closed off. And since she's been raised that way and has been in that environment, I think that she's just familiar to being very closed off and not open to, like, new ideas on faith or fantasy.
And but are you a little swept off your feet by Mr. Gailey?
I think so. I think since she's never had a father figure or like a father person in her life, I think that Mr. Gailey kind of represents that for her.
How old are you? Is your character in this play?
She's in second grade, so that would be 8 or 9.
Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Gailey, are you trustworthy?
I think so. No, I think Mr. Gailey he's sort of the opposite of the two of them. He's always the optimistic dreamer, and he's sort of one of the people who initially really believes that the Santa Claus they get is actually the Santa Claus. And so he sort of has to bring these two around to his way of thinking. And in doing so, like he says, it's sort of a plot to get closer to Mrs. Walker, because obviously he has a crush on her and wants to, you know, wants to develop that relationship as well.
Okay, so now it's coming clearer that that in the inviting to dinner, and so that makes it clear to you, Mrs. Walker. I'll keep calling you by your character names. Why you're taking a little back? Oh, suddenly there's a man around.
Yeah, it's definitely a new experience when it's just been the two of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good. So then already we're setting up several of the tensions of the play, you know, the ways that drama can exist. And then, of course, the plot issue is the problem of whether you can find a trustworthy Santa Claus on this planet. And now, Mrs. Walker, I'm just going to keep with this. Sarah Damon.
Wonderful.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
Preston Loomer plays Mr. Gailey. But so, Mrs. Walker, is it kind of your responsibility to find the Santa Claus? Is that your job within Macy's?
Well, her job is to organize the parade.
Uh-huh.
She has various roles within it. She's kind of in the corporate structure, so she's a working woman. And when the initial Santa Claus shows up, as he, you know, someone did on New Year's Eve, we allude to, she happens to see another man right there who she mistakes as Santa Claus, and promptly says, "Can you do it? Can you do the role? Can you help me out?" And this is where we find our Kris Kringle.
Oh.
So he kind of falls into her lap as she needed someone, and there he is. And so then she is responsible for coordinating the parade, and Kris Kringle kind of turns everything on its head at Macy's when it's all supposed to be about corporate profits. He starts actually helping customers and changing the way that business is done. And that's very welcome by Mr. Macy. It's a nice change. It's certainly surprising to, well, my character is Doris, but Mrs. Walker. And so she definitely welcomes him because he's good for business. Mm-hmm. And she's all about the business.
Well, back to the moment where we meet Kris Kringle. Is there some, does he seem just like another weird old man?
No, I think there's something special about Kris Kringle the second she lays eyes on him, because when she comes into the place, she says, "There you are. What are you doing out of costume? Now get dressed. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I thought you were our Santa Claus."
Oh, good.
So right out of the gate, she just feels that he's right.
Well, let's bring him forward. We'll have you trade places with him and Gary Pierce as Kris Kringle. What are you kind of projecting when you first start doing this play?
Well, he's a gentleman who lives in a retirement home, who's on an outing, and he becomes incensed when he sees another Santa who has been imbibing. Mm-hmm. And this sparks outrage, and that starts the exchange between Susan and Kris, and then the next thing you know, he's hired as Kris Kringle, or as Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny because through the play, a couple of mystical things happen during the play that you go, well, wait a minute, how did he know that? How did he do that? And so it's really interesting because it teases the audience. Well, wait a minute. This isn't some just old fuddy-duddy, you know. Maybe there's something to what he has to offer.
Yeah, let's bring in Jerry here again. But stay there, Gary. And what's implicit in everything that's just been said, but I think is pretty clear in the play, is the basic premise is Santa Claus real?
Yes.
I mean, and that's just stated right at the beginning of the play.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's the question.
If we had to put a theme to the entire production, it would be the concept of accepting things on faith when they don't make common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the play deals with.
Sure. And then Gary, you get to kind of be in that fun role because you get to have all the skeptics around you. Mm-hmm. Do you, as Kris Kringle, try to convince him, or do you just try to go in your own sweet way and let them figure it out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's true.
That's very true. That's exactly it. Kris Kringle is in his world, and he says he's waiting for the world to catch up to him.
Mm-hmm. There are one or two moments where, you know, if a question arises, then he just answers very honestly, as in, yes, I'm Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus, yes.
And there's only one place in the play that Kris is a little disheartened. But he snaps right out of it.
Okay, good.
Okay, yeah. We got to save some.
Exactly, yeah.
There has to be a spoiler, too, we don't want to do here on this, even though
that's okay.
Yeah. And so this is Miracle on 34th Street, which is, again, I'll repeat, it's two performances only by attending the theater. It's 7:30 on Friday and Saturday night, this Friday and Saturday night. The Friday night will be live here on KPBX, and then we will have a recording of it, which we will play at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve night. So now let's work toward this relationship between you and the little girl. We'll call her the little girl. You and Susan Walker, played by Darcy Else. That's your last name?
Yes, Else.
Yeah, Darcy Else. And so What's causing this? Because Darcy's still believing in Santa Claus, isn't she? Or is she needing to be convinced? Where are you at? You're second grade. That's kind of
on the cusp. Yeah, it's hard because I think she doesn't really know who to trust. You know, I think she's always kind of believed that all that is a kind of fantasy. But being introduced to somebody like Kris Kringle, it's very hard to, like, trust everything that you've been trusting your whole life when you're introduced to something completely new.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Because Susan has been brought up by her mother to look at the facts, to go by common sense. And, you know, as we heard in that previous scene, her attitude about Santa Claus is as an employee of Macy's, because that's who Santa is. And, yeah, the meeting of Kris Kringle and their relationship together kind of changes her perspective.
And that's what we're going to do right now.
I'm glad you're going to have dinner with us, Mr. Kringle.
Thank you, Susan.
I'm also very glad you're going to be staying next door with Mr. Gailey.
Why?
Because you're nice to talk to.
What a fine young man that Mr. Gailey is. Just think, allowing me to share his apartment, a mere stranger.
Shall I tell you what I did in school today?
Oh, by all means. Any games?
Yes, and a very silly game. They played zoo, and each child was supposed to be an animal. There was this one boy, Homer, and he was supposed to be the zookeeper. He said, "What kind of animal are you?" And I said, "I'm not an animal. I'm a girl." And he said, "Only animals allowed. Goodbye."
Why didn't you tell him you were a lion or a bear?
Because I'm not a bear or a lion.
Yes, but other children were only children, and they were pretending to be animals.
That's what makes the game so silly.
Of course, in order to play games, you need imagination.
Oh, that's when you see things that aren't really there?
Well, yes. But to me, imagination is a place all by itself. Now, you've heard of the French nation and the British nation. Well, this is the imagination. A very interesting place, too. How would you like to be able to make snowballs in summertime? Or be the Statue of Liberty in the morning, and in the afternoon fly south with a flock of geese?
I'm quite sure I'd like that, but...
Oh, it's very simple. Anyway, the next time they play zoo, you can be a monkey.
But I don't know how to be a monkey.
Oh, here, I'll show you. First, you bend over a little like this. Then let your arms hang loose. See?
Like this?
Yeah. Then put your tongue under your teeth like this.
Like this?
Oh, that's fine. Now put your hand over here and start scratching. Oh, that's excellent, Susan, excellent. Oh, and that's as bit of fine as scratching as I've ever seen. Now start chattering.
Chattering?
Yeah, listen. See? I keep on scratching. Now then, we'll do it together. Chatter and scratch, scratch and chatter. That's fine, Susan. You're doing beautifully.
Scratching and chattering. Okay, what a wonderful thing. That the famous adage that the best pictures are on radio.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That just happened, and what a lot of fun. Gary Pierce as Mr. Kris Kringle. I can't possibly figure out what his alter ego would be or what he would be. And Darcy Else as the young girl, the second grader, Susan Walker. Miracle on 34th Street. Any further thoughts of your involvement of directing it as a radio play, Jerry?
Oh, it's been a wonderful experience and a very fast experience. I should also add, our first rehearsal read-through get-together was on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, what's now, Wednesday, 3 days, 4 days we've been working on this, and we go up on Friday. Yeah. So a very fast process.
The virtue of Reader's Theater, the virtue of good actors.
Exactly.
Who just know what to do.
Exactly. That's right where I was going with that. This crew that we've got for the cast, well, and crew, because one of our cast members basically is the sound effects person.
Well, and that's huge.
Yes, just as important a member of the cast.
Yeah, who's doing that?
Samantha Stayert, she's also our stage manager for this production. And she will be running the sound effects table. And at various points, I believe she's actually going to recruit one or two of the other actors when she needs an extra set of hands for an exceptionally difficult sound or maybe a sequence of sounds. So it'll be visually pleasing for our studio audience there in the theater, in addition to a wonderful audio experience.
Yeah. So that's, again, Miracle on 34th Street, 7:30 on Friday and Saturday night at the Spokane Civic Theater. And then the Friday night will be broadcast live here on KPBX. And then we will have a recording of it, which will be played on Christmas Eve from 6 until 7. So thank you, everybody, for coming and joining us in this.
Thank you very much, Vern. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.